This is the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski on 104.5 The Zone.
All rise. We are open for business here at Edley's Barbecue, Sylvan Park, 4500 Murphy Road. We've got the runners running by with the dogs.
He's a runner.
We've got the trucks coming by, honking at the intersection that Paul says is perfect for observing how to properly channel a circle. You can take in some great barbecue and breakfast tacos this morning with us. Edley's, Sylvan Park. SEC kicks off tomorrow. We will kick off the VolQuest Hour coming up in an hour at 11 a.m. In 15 minutes, former Titans defensive coordinator Dean Pease, the Dean of Defense segment. He'll detail the matchups to watch Sunday for the Titans and Vikings.
I had a thought here. I see a Jimmy Morris tweet, and Dan Orlovsky's been touting Arthur Smith. Titans fans are all telling Dan Orlovsky to be quiet. The league knows that Arthur Smith is good. I know some of this is joking, but it's not funny joking. Like, the league is fully aware that Arthur Smith is doing a hell of a job with the Titans offense.
Orlovsky was on top of it long before the league was, too, whenever he would join us.
Yeah, but if you're looking around right now at offensive coordinators who are doing a hell of a job, who you'd probably want to be in control of your offense and maybe your team next year, sorry, but Arthur Smith's on the head of the list. And your team, the Titans, have now entered the territory where their people are going to be popular. We saw it with Matt LaFleur, whose offense wasn't even good, right? Who's now doing really good things in Green Bay. So Arthur Smith's offense is really good. So you can imagine if LaFleur, just from touching the hem of McVay's garment, got a job, Arthur Smith's going to be in damn good position to get a job. So I would advise sitting back and enjoying this year and not spending the next 14 games plus hopefully the playoffs dreading the departure of Arthur Smith. I would soak in Arthur Smith right now. I would hope, spend it a little bit hoping there's the same truck. He's doing laps now.
White trucking.
I would enjoy everything you can about Arthur Smith. I would maybe expend a little energy on hoping that Mike Vrabel's developing somebody on staff to be next, because that appears the way that he goes. He's not a big outsider guy. But the idea that the Titans are somehow going to have great success and B, at the same time, hide the engineer of the great success, that's not how it works. There's no hiding him. Maybe you get lucky like the Chiefs got with Eric Bieniemy, but highly doubt it. There's going to be a lot of turnover. There are a lot of bad teams out there. The Jets are really bad. Adam Gase is going to be out of work. They're going to be interviewing, and Arthur Smith is almost doubtlessly going to be on their list. The Lions are going to have an opening. The Falcons should have an opening.
Falcons have their owner saying, you don't want to act rash after a game like that. When you're saying that in an interview, then you're eventually going to get fired.
And he's been exceptionally patient with that team.
Let's go through the injury list for Sunday. We don't have the final injury list, the designations yet. That'll come out later this afternoon. Malcolm Butler with the quad injury. He did return yesterday on a limited basis after missing Wednesday's practice. A.J. Brown has not practiced.
He's not going to play.
Derek Roberson has not practiced this week with an illness.
So there's some kind of sickness going around.
Dennis Kelly had it.
Eliminated the idea of none of us are thinking about sicknesses outside of COVID.
Right.
Titans have been seemingly passing something around that ain't COVID.
Dennis Kelly had it, but he returned to practice yesterday. The two big ones I want to point out, Darrington Evans with the hamstring, who has not played so far this season. He again practiced in full yesterday.
We'll get the
full injury designation. Same for Vic Beasley. He's missed the first two games. He practiced again as a full participant yesterday.
They are expecting him to go, and my sense is if he doesn't go, that's him. That's not them. That's not like them saying, okay, we're going to hold you a week. That's him saying, I can't go, I don't feel ready, whatever, and that they'd be very impatient with that at this time.
And let's mention the defensive backs. Adoree Jackson's out. Well, he's still on IR. Jonathan Joseph has a calf issue. He practiced Wednesday, did not practice yesterday. And Chris Jackson has a hamstring, and he was limited yesterday after he was held out of practice on Wednesday.
This is problematic, to say the least. Practice squatters, they've been rotating some new people through. Kareem Orr is still there, I believe. I don't have it in front of me, but we're going to have to look at some names that we don't even know as possibilities. And they've been cycling people through two a week, really, looking for guys that they think can be answers right now. But they've had guys like Butler, you know, strapped it up and played last week. But then he's back on with the calf. It's not like going away. It's a thing. And, you know, you fear that, all right, he straps it up and plays this week, but then he's on the report again next week with the calf, and that it's gradually...
Well, this is a quad. Butler's a quad.
That it's gradually going to be an issue, or Joseph's calf is going to continue to be an issue, and that in a secondary where you've got some talent issues, you're also going to have some of your better guys playing at less than... You know, you don't want to say 100%. Nobody's playing at 100%, but playing diminished because they're carrying nagging injuries.
Same for the Vikings. So the Vikings,
Got two guys who haven't practiced all week.
Cameron Dantzler, he has been held out with a rib issue this week. Same goes for Mike Hughes, the opposite starter. He has a neck injury. He has not practiced this week. And then the other development is rookie linebacker Troy Dye, who came in and played roughly 20 snaps when Anthony Barr went down with his injury. Dye was the next guy up.
And he hasn't practiced.
He's been held out with a foot issue. So those are all aspects to watch for the Vikings when their final injury report comes out later today.
Practice squad. Greg Maben just got put on the COVID IR list, the practice squad COVID IR list, if you will. Kareem Orr is there, and he could be a call-up, and that's it for corners on the practice squad list right now. So a guy coming in and having COVID, Breon Borders, 6'1", 189 out of Duke is also on that. So we could hear of Kareem Orr or Breon Borders as a call-up at least to the 55, then if they wind up needing them on the 40. What is it, the 48 now?
Yeah, 48.
If they need him on the 48, you don't know. But I would think you want some insurance there. If Jackson, Butler, and Joseph all have something, you got to be prepared for
numbers.
One of them to go down.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yes.
Or you're counting on Kalu, who's a safety slash corner. Crookshank's not around, and he's a more flexible guy. Is there another safety I'm missing who has corner ability?
I mean, Hooker can play inside.
Yeah, well, Hooker plays in some packages.
Yeah, I know what you're
saying.
Yeah.
Right. So you got to have contingencies there. And you're probably chopping away at another spot. I mean, I think we've probably seen the last game of nine offensive linemen because you've got to have at least a fourth outside linebacker.
You have to keep eight active.
You have to keep eight. But they've had nine. I think you chop that off in exchange for getting the fourth outside linebacker. Now, Roberson was going to be ready physically, and now he's missed two practices sick. So Vrabel's pretty big on having a practice week before you play, for a guy of Roberson's stature anyway, right? So I could see Roberson being a scratch. Correa, as bad as he's been, is still going to be up, I think, because he plays different spots and he has a special team role.
Yes.
So I would expect Beasley up as the fourth. Maybe he though works as the third. Correa bumps to the fourth, continues to play minimal snaps, but is ready if you need him for injuries and plays special teams.
They just need more guys for the rotation, right? Chad, we're also eager to see the travel roster for the Tennessee Volunteers. That will be very interesting.
That's going to tell us a lot. and reading the War Room today, I don't think Cade Mays is going to play. And he may not even make the trip.
Has he not gotten the well,
Pruitt
gladiator
wanted,
thumb?
Pruitt wanted the thumbs up from the SEC prior to departing for South Carolina.
Of course you do.
Well, I'm saying to make the trip.
Yeah, even
that's
to get on
the plane. What are they going to give it to him during warm-ups?
Well, right. But even to get on the plane today to go to Columbia when they leave, yeah. He wanted him to get the thumbs up before.
How could you not give him the thumbs up or thumbs down before you give before you're giving him a seat on the plane?
I think, again, we'll talk. This is going to be a topic in the Ballquest Hour. But I listened to Greg Sankey's interview with Birmingham, and he basically said, I don't know why everybody's looking at me. It's a league rule that was voted on in 2018. He said these coaches knew that when they accepted these players onto their campus. If you got a problem, take it up with the chancellors and athletic directors that voted on this in 2018.
They won't be able to change it, though, until the league meetings.
But did the rule say something about deciding at the very last second?
Well, again, I think what Greg Sankey is saying is it's not my decision. It's a league rule. You're asking me to overrule the league rule. I think that rule is appropriate.
So he's saying no.
Everyone else is saying this is inappropriate because of COVID-19. Because eligibility doesn't count, this is a weird year, and the NCAA is about to make it illegal for any league to do that this spring anyway. So go ahead and let everyone play, those three players. I'm thinking more and more like Cade Mays isn't going to be eligible this year. But we'll talk to both Austin Price and Brent Hubbs coming up about that.
And coming up next, our Dean of Defense, former Titans defensive coordinator Dean Pease, about to join us. We get the game plan and the keys for the Titans to have some success against that Vikings offense.
Tell your friends to tune over.
Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
Coming up this afternoon on the 3HL.
It is a Trash Talk Friday.
We've also got some Titans talk with Mike Keith, Mark Mariani, and Blaine Bishop.
We get three keys for Tennessee from Josh Ward.
Plus much, much more.
This afternoon from 3 to 6 on 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. It is a Springsteen Friday.
Woo!
Koharski's dreams come true as we're live from Edley's Sylvan Park. Glad you're with us. It is a football Friday as well. High school tonight. SEC tomorrow with Tennessee, South Carolina, Titans, and Vikings on Sunday at noon right here on 104.5 The Zone. We say hello to our Dean of Defense, former Titans defensive coordinator Dean Pease, presented each week by the Toyo's Clinic and Flapless LASIK at Toyo's Clinic. Achieve freedom from glasses and contacts. You can swim, work out, wear makeup the next day with Flapless LASIK at Toyo's Clinic. Dr. Rolando Toyos, Nashville's top doc for LASIK and Smile, online at toyosclinic.com. Coach Pease, how are you?
Hey, great, Jonathan. How are you guys doing?
We are doing very well. You told us Eifert would be more involved last week, and they wanted to get their tight end more involved in Jacksonville. That certainly came to fruition. You mentioned that the goal would be to try to keep Minshew in the pocket. They did that on the final offensive snap for Jacksonville. They followed your keys.
Well, that's good. Hopefully I'm right once in a while.
Coach Dean Pease with us on the Midday 180. Let's get to your keys for the Titans and Vikings matchup. You know Kubiak really well. You coach with half of that staff in Minnesota, so you know this team fairly well with their mentality and philosophy. And it starts with stopping the run. It sounds repetitive, but this is the top key to stopping the Vikings because the first two opponents have been able to do that. They've been able to contain Dalvin Cook, and that's a must for the Titans on Sunday.
Absolutely. He's the key. He's the best player they got. He's the big key. Gary Kubiak likes to run the ball. He's a zone running scheme type guy. He'll do a little bit of two-back stuff with lead zone and some other things. And then off of the run play is the boot pass, which is something Cousins does well. Gary really likes it. So they got to stop the run. That's absolutely the number one key.
The zone run is their bread and butter offensively. Discuss defending the zone run specifically. What are the keys to that up front?
Well, the biggest thing is that sometimes what you want to do is get some penetration and get some knockback on the front. It starts with the front like it always does. but you really got to take guys on and just, we always talk about it. You got to set an edge. You got to build a wall. In other words, what you got to do is don't let the ball get outside on the zone running schemes. Keep it inside, but then you got to build a wall, which means everybody's got to play flat across the front. What in zone schemes, what they do is they're trying to get the ball to the guy, the back quickly, and then what he can do is pick the hole. The hole's not always going to be designated right where it's going to hit. It's not like a gap scheme where, okay, you got to hit the B gap. He's got really the full front to kind of see where is the seam going to open up. And then what you got to do on defense is not give him a seam, make the running back have to try to find it, slow down to find it, and by that time, pursuit catches him.
Through that, through the boots that complement that, or through deep shots, the Vikings clearly built to get some chunk plays. Doesn't seem like they've been getting them for how little offense they've produced. What's failed them in terms of finding them?
Well, you mean, give me that again a little bit, Paul.
It seems like they need a few chunk plays to run their offense. How do the Titans continue to prevent those kind of gash plays that they don't seem to have found in their first two games?
That's right. That's really the second key. The second key to me, the first key is obviously stop the run. Second key to me is just don't give up big plays. If you don't give up a big run on a zone run, you just make them work for it. You'll eventually, you'll get to them, and then they'll get to the red zone, and you got to play good red zone. But the biggest thing is off those play actions, off the boot, you don't want to give up a big play. I'm going to give you an example. There's a play. We used to call it 135R, and what it means is they're going to fake the ball to the offensive left, to the defense's right. He's going to act like he's starting to boot, but he stops inside the tackle box. It's kind of a half-roll boot. Actually, they ran it, even Jacksonville ran it last week. Almost everybody's got it a little bit if they run zone scheme. And what that ball is looking to be thrown back to the offensive left. A boot pass, if you fake to the left, you're going to boot to the right, you're going to throw it to the right. On a 135R, which is a half roll pass, you actually make the linebackers think that you're booting, so they start running to their left, and you actually throw it back across the field. Those are the ones on a zone team you really got to defend, because those become big chunk plays down the field.
Coach, is that the biggest threat in terms of chunk plays, that the half boot action with the Vikings? Or do you look at a player with the ability of a Dalvin Cook and say maybe that's the bigger threat for the big run? Talking about gashers and plays like that in that Vikings offense, what is their biggest threat for those big chunk plays?
I really think it's the half roll. I think the boot pass is usually it's going to get you. He's going to have three options. He's going to have a real quick one in the flat. He's going to have a little, always a guy crossing over the middle at about 15 yards, and then a little bit of a check down if he doesn't run. Those can, they could end up being a 15-yard, it could be a first down. But the half roll, when they throw those things back, those things could be posts, those guys could be post corners. Those are big plays. The other big play, along with Cook, obviously, on just breaking a run, is a screen pass. Because, they set the thing up, it's get after it, and then all of a sudden they get you with a screen. And Gary's always been a good screen coordinator. He's always had good screens. I don't think they've hit as many here in these first two games, and hopefully that stays that way. But, with Cook and also Madison, their backup running back, there's always a chance for a screen play that can be a big play.
Dean Pease with us, our Dean of Defense segment, presented by Toyo's Clinic and Flapless LASIK. They're online, toyosclinic.com.
Third down defense, it has not been good so far this year at getting off the field on third down. When you watch them on third down, Coach, is there a consistent theme with some of their struggles, or have you seen a lot of different facets of third down defense coming into play in terms of not getting off the field?
Well, I think it's been a combination of a bunch of things. I'm sure this week, Mike's really kind of talked a lot about that, and that would be the third key, besides stop the run, don't give up a big play. Third key is going to be get off the field on third down, because it just sustains drives, and you got to get off the field on third down. And it's kind of been a, just watching the first couple games with the Titans, you know, it's been a mixture of a bunch of things. So it's not one thing. It's not necessarily personnel. Haven't gotten, you know, as much pressure probably on the quarterback as Mike would like. So I'm sure they've worked very hard on that this week. And that's going to be a key this week. They got to get off the field on third down. Just I think the offense is playing, you know, very, very well and doing a lot of moving the ball pretty well. And so the more they can get that ball to the offense, the better. And the more the defense can get off the field and rest, the better.
Coach, I'm curious about the pre-snap reads against this Vikings offense compared to the first two offenses with the Broncos and with the Jaguars, who have had success on third down. Is Minnesota hard to identify and adjust to pre-snap the same way Denver and Jacksonville were?
No. The thing about Denver was you didn't really know exactly what you were going to get because you kind of had a new coordinator in Shermer, and you had a quarterback hadn't played a lot. There wasn't a lot of information on Denver, so you kind of had to just wait and adjust as you had to. You knew in Jacksonville, like I said last week, they were going to motion every down, do a lot of things with number 10, put him in the backfield. I mean, you kind of knew that was coming so you could prepare. The thing with Vikings, Gary's never been a real tricky, try to trick you type coach. It's I'll play you. They'll do a little bit of motion and stuff, and I'm sure they'll move Thielen around maybe a little bit, but mainly he's a slot guy and he's kind of the motion guy. They're not going to be hard to identify. I mean, their personnel groups are pretty easy to see. Their formations are not real complicated. There's not a whole lot of tight end motion and stuff. They may try to get Rudolph involved a little more, although it just didn't seem like he's, you know, they're looking at him like they used to. So I just I don't think it's going to be hard for us to identify what we're going to get. I think it's just a matter of just it's going to be execution against execution.
Kirk Cousins runs very hot or cold based on Sunday to Sunday. How can the Titans force the issue with him a bit? And we hear about contain the QB. Explain concepts of how to contain the quarterback from boot pass, which you have already alluded to is one of the keys to stop with Kirk Cousins.
Well, you got to have a good, we always say set the edge. That's the number one thing our outside backers always have to be able to do is, you know, they got to be able to set the edge, play the run, and then pass comes third. So they're going to have to do a good job on the edge. A lot of times because of the zone scheme, you can get upfield. Look, there is a key. I just don't want to say what it is necessarily over the air, but there is a key to the type of zone run that the boot comes off of. Every zone run does not have a boot. There's a certain zone run that does have the boot. And if the outside backers can identify that, which I know they will be with Mike, is that, you know, hopefully they'll do a good job of being able to get up the field. If you get up the field on a regular zone run, then the ball's going to cut back and there's going to be a seam there. If it's a boot, then that's where you got to be able to just bide your time a little bit, read the zone run, see what kind of run it is, then get upfield. The other thing I could see possibly is when we pressure a lot of teams, when you pressure a boot team, you try to come from the outside, not necessarily up the middle. When you blitz up the middle, a lot of times, you know, he's going to just, after the fake, he's going to get outside and everybody's all tied up in there and you got a lot of opening. Whereas if you come off the edge, a lot of times, hopefully, if you guess right, the good thing about the one thing about Kubiak is he will boot both left and right. A lot of teams don't do that. A lot of teams only boot towards quarterback's hand. He'll do both. So I think you might see a little more pressure. And if it is pressure, it may come a little bit more from the perimeter.
Adam Thielen's an awfully good receiver, but this offense is different without Stephon Diggs. Seems like Cousins has been locked in on Thielen maybe a little bit too often, and they've suffered for it.
Paul, I think that's right. I think that's why I say maybe Rudolph or maybe this Smith guy, number 84, might get involved a little bit more. I mean, I know they got Jefferson and they got Johnson, the outside receivers, and those guys can, you know, they can take some shots with them, especially on that semi-roll thing. They could throw back to them. I think they got to do that. They got to try to loosen it up. I just think that, you know, Thielen – When he plays in the slot all the time, it's a little easier in some ways on the defense. You can double the guy. You can double a slot a lot easier than you can double an outside receiver. That's why A.J. Green and Hopkins and all those guys, it was hard because when you double them, you kind of give it away a little bit. When you double a slot, there's two or three guys that you can use on defense to double that guy and disguise it very, very well. So I think that either they might move Thielen around a little bit, or they may even try to get Rudolph a little bit more involved and the Smith guy, the other tight end, more involved.
Coach, how weird is it to watch this Vikings offense without Diggs involved? How much different is this Vikings offense without Diggs involved?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just not – that is the guy that could take the top off the defense. And that's what made Thielen and Rudolph and all these other guys so, you know, productive, is the fact that, you know, you got to worry about, you know, you had to worry about Diggs. I mean, you just did. And so he's a good route runner. He's got speed. He's got size. Got all those things those great receivers in the league have. And so you had to pay attention to him. It was hard, you know, to match up against him unless you just had just a really excellent corner. But even that, I've seen him turn some of those guys around. I don't see it with these other guys. I'm not – that doesn't, you know, diminish their ability. I just don't think they're of that caliber. And so all of a sudden everything kind of falls on Thielen's shoulders. And I think Gary's smart enough to know that that's, you know, any defense is going to kind of key in on that. And I think that's why he's going to have to do something just a little different this week involving some other guys.
Dean Pease with us, presented by Flapless LASIK at Toyo's Clinic. They're online at toyosclinic.com. Can the Titans take advantage of the center guard triangle on the interior offensive line for Minnesota? We know Jeffrey Simmons has seen the double teams this year. That means other players up front need to win some one-on-one matchups Sunday.
Absolutely. The way Jeff's playing right now, I don't know how you could not watch film and be an offensive coordinator and not say, we got to take care of this guy. I mean, he just has really made some outstanding plays, and we knew he was going to be that way, and he certainly has proven it in the first two games. So, yeah, I think so. The first week I thought, the Denver offensive line was so young and inexperienced, I thought, you know, we'd do a good job there. Last week, I said Jacksonville's offensive line was a very veteran group, and I thought they were a little bit better in protections and really in a lot of things because they're mature. I think Minnesota's line is kind of somewhere in between Denver and Jacksonville, and I think that I'm sure Mike and Shane and those guys, and the guys on defense, are going to do some things up inside to try to take advantage. The only thing is, I'm just telling you that on these zone runs and on the boots, that's the one thing good about boot passes. If you're on offense, it takes you away from those guys. You know, you're making those guys run a lot, and you're also, when you're booting away from them, you're not standing there in the pocket and letting a big guy just press the pocket on you.
Coach, I'm curious from this angle with Kenny Vaccaro. He made a big hit. I believe it was on Chenault on a run last week. Big pop. It was a short game for Chenault, but Vaccaro kind of got into rhythm after he made that pop on the offensive player. How many times going into a game did you know that one of your veteran players just needed to get involved to gain a little confidence, to get in rhythm each week?
Quite a bit. I think that's a real that's a good observation, Jonathan, that a lot of offensive guys, you'll hear them talk about, well, they got to get the guy going, you got to feed the running back a little bit and get him warmed up, or you got to get a receiver involved in the game early to get his confidence up. Well, defense is the same way. You know, you got certain guys that can blitz, and if they struggle early on and then you can get them kind of involved in a blitz or something like that, then all of a sudden, and they make a hit, all of a sudden, boy, that confidence boosts up. I was watching Kenny last week, and, you know, and then a couple right at the beginning, they picked on him a little bit on a couple man coverage things. And then all of a sudden, he got that hit, and it didn't really matter whether it was a negative play or whatever. It didn't matter. All of a sudden, that's Kenny. Kenny's a physical player, and all of a sudden, he played, to me, lights out then the rest of the game. I mean, he made a nice pass defense on the goal line, you know, against Tyler. And so I just think a lot of guys are like that. Logan Ryan, was like that last year. Kind of when I'd blitz him, he would once he made a blitz, boy, I tell you what, he was going to blitz pretty good the rest of the game. And you want to get guys involved like that.
First time we had you on, one of the things we talked about was how much you reveled in kind of scheming up pressure when that's what you guys needed to do. Pressure hasn't been very good from this team so far. I'm wondering how much you've seen them trying to scheme it up, or how much you feel like they maybe had to keep their foot off the pedal because of the youth in the secondary.
Well, I haven't seen a whole lot of pressure. I've been kind of watching it and looking at see some of them, because I know they kept pretty much the scheme intact. And so I've been watching some of them. And, you know, I think that's Mike's going to have to evaluate that. Those guys are going to have to evaluate whether they think they need it or whether they're still going to keep trying to go with four-man pressure, maybe even a little five-man. But, you know, part of it, too, is a lot of times, Paul, is that you got to look at the secondary. It's everybody likes to blitz and everybody likes to pressure. But the thing of it is it really starts in the back end. You can find enough guys that can blitz, and you can do enough schemes up front that you can do protections and stuff like that. The thing of it is what do you have in the back end coverage-wise that can handle it, handle the different coverages, maybe handle man coverage. If you don't have a real good man coverage team, it's kind of crazy to run man pressures. And so, because if the pressure doesn't get there, then you're really holding on. So it's, I think it's, you know, the more these guys play back there together, I know they've been kind of a, with the Dory out of there, it's been a little mix, and you have to play with the new nickel. And then Joseph's, you know, even though he's a veteran, he's been kind of banged up. I just think the more they play together, then I think the more that's going to help the pressure up front, because the more that Shane or Mike and those guys feel like they can call the pressures. It really is more based on the secondary a lot than what people think.
Coach Dean Pease, our Dean of Defense, presented by Toyo's Clinic each Friday at 10:15. Coach, thank you as always, and best of luck to Matt tonight. And up in Ohio, where you're taking a little high school football.
Well, I appreciate that. Actually, what happened, Jonathan, the game got canceled because of COVID.
Again? Did it really?
Yes. They had to shut it down. There's been a few games up here that they've shut down. Just a couple. What happens is a couple players get it, and you got to quarantine everybody. And so their game got canceled.
We're seeing a couple of those here in the mid-state over the last 24 hours, too. Just one of those seasons. They're going to get a game in soon, though.
Yeah, they'll play next week, hopefully.
All right. Hey, thank you as always. You're crushing it here with these game plans for us, and we can't wait for next week.
Hey, thanks, Jonathan, Paul, you guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, right. Coach.
Coach Dean Pease has been our guest. Coming up, we'll hit some headlines. And then we have the VolQuest Hour. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
Tired of old games? Yeah, so are we. Get ready. Vols football is coming. 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue online. Edley'sBBQ.com. Today live, Sylvan Park. Overlooking McCabe Golf Course. We could do some damage on that course, gentlemen.
By damage, you mean divots all over the course.
High scoring.
By damage, Hutton does not mean good golf play. He means actual physical damage to the course. That's what I would be doing.
I'm a little bitter because when I lived over this way, you know, in Davidson, I always wished that there was a good driving range, and they built this nice driving range over here after I left.
Oh. Well, a great friend of the show and owner of Edley's Barbecue is Will Newman, who has stopped by his Sylvan Park location. I would also point out he's from McMinnville, as I am, home of the 5-0 Warren County Pioneers.
My Warren County Pioneers.
Up, Pioneers.
What's up, man? Good to see
it's
you.
It's pretty good. We've got my Atlanta Braves clinching a record 20th division title.
God, one you guys get excited about division titles.
My 5-0, my 5-0 Pioneers, my 2-0 Titans, and my undefeated Vols.
Let's talk about the 5-0 Pioneers.
It doesn't get much better.
The 5-0 Pioneers, Will, is the most remarkable of all of these. What a start for Warren County this year! Incredible.
They beat Blackman.
They did.
In CJ Taylor, we trust.
Yes,
I love Braves fans saying it. You have 20 consecutive division titles. It doesn't get much better. It gets a lot better. You go and win World Series. They're so much better than division titles.
Will, how much do you want to avoid the Cardinals in the first round? I don't care about matchups. I just do not want to see the Cardinals
absolutely
in the first round.
They've wrecked us.
Well, thanks for having us out here.
Great tacos.
We were discussing, without your knowledge, just coming out here like two or three times a week and making this our studio.
We're just going to show up.
If you want. We just set up. We have to convince Kirby to do this for us. But, I mean, why not? It's the perfect location. We're right across the street from Poncho and Lefty's here in Sylvan Park.
We're together.
Waving all the cars in the roundabout.
Yes.
It's fall.
People are honking as they come by. Yeah. Oh, and the breakfast tacos. Let's talk about this because I didn't know these existed until today, honestly, here.
They didn't exist until they were created yesterday for today.
For today. The breakfast tacos at Edley's Barbecue. Yeah. Chad, your thoughts?
They're amazing. I had the brisket taco. Jordan, come here real quick. Jordan's a big listener of the show. Jordan, you had the pork, but give us your rating of that pork breakfast taco.
They were awesome, and bring them back.
There it is. Look at that. Heard. I love it. Jordan shows up. He's making demands already. Yeah, that's how good those breakfast tacos are.
Really, we listen to our guests.
Will Newman making dreams come true with the breakfast tacos here at Edley's Barbecue.
And Chad and I will be ready for lunch in an hour and a half.
I love how we immediately just launched in with Will because he's basically a co-host of the show now. We're just talking sports with him. We're not even talking about Edley's to start, but plenty of great things to talk about out here at Edley's.
So where
breakfast tacos, by the way, I highly, highly recommend it.
Where are you taking in the game tomorrow, Tennessee, South Carolina?
How will you consume it?
I will be in the confines of the Great Smoky Mountains.
Nice.
We're heading to, me and the boys and Catherine are heading to Gatlinburg tomorrow for their first trip.
Nice.
Oh. So we'll be in some hotel at Howard Johnson Saturday night. And seriously, downtown. And then we're going into the Smokies staying at Elkmont two nights on a campground.
That's awesome. Will you be going to Neyland Stadium for the Missouri game the next week?
If I can get tickets.
One of the 25,000?
Jack can help.
I can possibly help you out with that. I'll be one of the 25,000.
You will.
I can tell you that. I will be one of the 25,000.
You have them in hand, game. Or you have an assurance?
A close associate has them in hand. He is guarding them right now. No, I don't have
Who's
them.
Who's financing this project?
A man that is wealthier than I, Paul. A man that is wealthier than I.
That's not that
hard. I'm contributing to the funding of this project, but he is the one funding the overall project.
Contributing like, hey, I'll buy a round of drinks?
It's my buddy Alan Bean. He's an attorney. That's who's
the
funding.
The Veiner. Veiner.
Well, congrats, by the way. Finally, we announced this yesterday on the show, the downtown location for Poncho and Lefty's has reopened officially. Props.
Props, yes. So I was telling PK, we had our PPP money, and we had a formula based up, and this was the last – yesterday was the last day that we could open so we could use the PPP money so we can get it forgiven.
Gotcha.
There wasn't a right time to open because nobody knows when to open because I was down there last night and –
No one's down there.
Not a lot of people down there.
Let's ask Will about his fantasy football contest last week.
Edley's
How
best.
Did that go?
Edley's best is 0-2, not playing our best.
Who'd you lose to recently?
Displaced Yankees or something. And it was a butt whooping. And I may be it's going to be a rough. My goal now is to not finish last.
Well, just for the record.
It's as if he didn't consider receiver at all.
For the record, Paul didn't bring up his week one performance at all on the show because he lost.
Shocking that I wouldn't talk about my loss and I would talk about my win.
He wants to act like he's 2-0, like me.
Yeah, I'm 1-1. I haven't done a lot of talking either, so I'm right there with Paul.
So in the lineage of Edley's, when did this location open compared to the other two that you have?
So this was the third location. It opened in 2016, and Sylvan Park is just an amazing neighborhood. Those for the Nashvillians and Middle Tennesseans that haven't been here, you were talking about, you've got McCabe Golf Course, which is a great fun little municipal golf course, and they've got a great greenway. It's a really great community neighborhood over here, and then obviously we've got Poncho and Lefty's across the street. So it's just, we're blessed to be here and love being a part of the neighborhood.
It's the 180 corner. Here at Edley's in Sylvan Park. All right, so Ramon Foster, mornings with J. Martin Ramon on 104.5 The Zone, says the Vols are going 8-2 this year. Are you that confident in the Tennessee Volunteers?
I'll drink the Kool-Aid.
You're going to go with that?
7-3 feels more realistic.
I think he's insane. and I tweeted him that. I think he's high. I think they're going 8-2. I think 6-4 is a great season. with this schedule.
Would you take
I think six and four is remarkable.
I would take 6-4 right now.
Eight and two could get them in the discussion for the college football playoff with this schedule. That's how good 8-2 would be. There's going to be a two-loss SEC team possibly in that playoff. So that's how great that would be. Ramon, by the way, also Hutton just tweeted out, and I didn't get the invite. I'm in search of a bomb breakfast taco. Tweeting to Edley's. I've retweeted and said, you know where to find us.
It's
come
open,
on down.
It's open to everyone.
It's the debut.
Down. I don't know that you need a personal invite to come to a restaurant.
He sounds
open
a lot like you,
public.
Actually, Paul. Sounds a lot like you, needing a personal invite everywhere they go.
Well, the person
wants the invite.
The things I need personal invites to, I want to reject the invite.
Yeah, he wants to turn them down. Will, we're trying out the delivery service through Edley's today. We've been mentioning that Edley's now delivers through edleysbbq.com. So we're putting that to good use with some people coming up today. So we're pumped that you're offering that now.
Yeah, I mean it's with the virus, things have shifted, and obviously to go and especially third party delivery is a big part of what most restaurants are, and you know they take a big Uber Eats and Postmates take 30%.
Yep.
And that incentivizes me to figure this out. We were going to pay them a lot of money this year, and so it's a big bet that to spend this money during this time to figure out delivery. But we're gonna figure it out, and we're gonna own delivery.
We might take all of your brisket, like you might have no brisket for customers today. That might be.
I saw your pitmaster walk by and kind of look for the thumbs up or thumbs down on the brisket taco, and I gave him a big thumbs up.
How much brisket would that be if we took all the brisket?
On a day like today, on a Friday, they probably cooked, I'd say, a couple hundred pounds of brisket for on Friday. It's a prime brisket.
Paul, you tried to eat a 5-pound block of Hershey's bar once.
Yeah, failed miserably. It was the wrong day.
Hey, we're thrilled to be out here kicking off the SEC season. Vols and Gamecocks tomorrow, which I know you're picking the Vols to win on the road. Garantano's been excellent against the Gamecocks throughout his career.
Yeah.
Six touchdown passes, no interceptions.
I don't find that reassuring. I find that predictive of a downturn.
Well,
I don't know.
It wasn't last year.
No,
he came in last year and played great against South Carolina.
Some of his
too.
Best moments have been against South Carolina, so I'm eager to see if they can get a hot start.
You know, if Garantano is our starting quarterback on game 10, and he started all 10 games, the Vols will go 7-3.
That is a bold proclamation, but one that makes a lot of sense.
Well, yeah,
if he's going start to finish, then Tennessee's doing okay. I'm with you. Because their defense, I think, is going to be fine. That's one thing that you know under Jeremy Pruitt is that they're going to eventually, if not at the very beginning, they're going to get it done defensively as the season goes on. So if Garantano can avoid the huge mistake and hit the open receivers, they could be 6-4, 7-3.
Edley's is Nashville-style barbecue, Nashville-style hot pulled pork available today at their three locations. You can grab it here at Sylvan Park. We'll be broadcasting live. Come have lunch with us. Grab the breakfast tacos as well, $5. The $4 Edley's Best Beer on draft, available all day long right here at Edley's Sylvan Park. That's on tap. Will, we're not leaving. We're sticking around. We're going to make this our home since we're not allowed to studio.
I'm sticking around after 1 o'clock.
And as part of that, Kirby is moving in. Where's the mattress will be arriving shortly.
Kirby's going to lay.
His yurt will be in the back.
He doesn't even need a key. He can just break in.
Oh, that's right.
He can just break in.
He knows about the glass.
There's a garage door he can break into.
Can we fashion some sort of lean-to up against this building for Kirby? That's where he'll be sleeping from here on out.
And then lock the generator inside away from him.
Yeah.
Will, thank you, man. We appreciate you.
Thanks. Gentlemen, always a pleasure. So fun for the SEC to be back.
Yes.
Everything feels right.
Football is back. And also back when we return, the VolQuest Hour with Austin Price and Brent Hubbs. Time to preview Tennessee, South Carolina with VolQuest next on 104.5 The Zone.
Week 3, and the Titans find themselves in the Twin Cities for a showdown against Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. Mike Keith and Coach Dave McGinnis have the call. Kickoff is Sunday at noon on your home for Titans football. 104.5 The Zone.